This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages. We are back for another episode of Big Time Baseball for Odyssey Sports. Cody Decker, former professional baseball player turned professional smartass on the radio, and with me as always, the legendary, the one, the only, quite frankly, if you don't follow him on Twitter, you do not exist as far as I'm concerned, John Heyman. How you doing, John?
Hi, I think there are a few people who don't follow me, but very nice. Thank you for that very nice introduction.
You're welcome, John. We are now an officially, I mean, I guess we can kind of call it week two of the playoffs. I mean, we got through a great, and I do mean this, a great wild card weekend. I don't want to brag, but I was right about just about everything, with the exception of the Phillies, because the Phillies are just pure chaos, which is making them borderline one of the most fun teams to watch because you just simply don't know what you're getting inning to inning. What do you got on the Phillies, John?
Yeah, I didn't have that one correct. You're much smarter than I am. You know what? In a short series, they are very dangerous. Obviously, Wheeler and Nola are excellent. They have a terrific lineup. You're right. You do not know what you're going to get. We didn't know Nick Castellanos. We knew he could hit. We didn't know he was a great outfielder as well. They turned it around. I mean, look, the Mets beat them 14 out of 19 in the regular season, really pounded them. Of course, some of those games came before Rob Thompson was installed as the manager. They have completely turned it around, and they're alive. The Mets are not alive, and those were my two surprises. I'm apparently an American League expert only.
Well, I mean, let's be real clear. Who even picked the Phillies to get into October going into September, let alone win their wild card series? No. Yeah. And, you mentioned it. We might as well get into it because the wild card round had some early exits. And of course, there was the Rays. Of course, there were the Blue Jays. We just mentioned the Cardinals who got knocked out by the Phillies. I expected the Blue Jays because I really have a good feeling about the Seattle Mariners going into that series. I do not have the same feeling about them facing the Astros, but then again, I don't have that feeling about any team facing the Houston Astros. But it says here on the rundown, who's the biggest disappointment of the teams knocked out? Let's be real clear, John.
It's the Mets. I had to witness that funeral. Boy, that was ugly. I mean, this is a team that was up 10.5 games. All they had to do was win one game in Atlanta, of course. The Mets being the Mets, they do not beat Atlanta. You know, I don't know what the reason is for that. You know, we know the Yankees have the number of the Twins, but it does feel like the Braves have the number of the Mets. Braves are a really good team. I get it, but Mets should be able to win occasionally. They didn't do it. Put themselves in a bind. They were in a tough spot. I've been in a lot of locker rooms or clubhouses, we call them in baseball, that were really depressed and really upset. You know, even though they won 1-1, they were early eggs, it did not feel that way with the Mets. I think they were resigned. Once they didn't beat the Braves and they had this gauntlet to navigate and had to beat not only the Padres, who were very improved after the deadline, and as we know, but then they were going to play the Dodgers and then maybe the Braves. We'll see about that, but you know, I think they got it. They needed to beat the Braves one game. They didn't do it, and that pretty much was the end of the story.
And I was blown away. Just every single network, like every network. It's not like one or the other. Everyone, when you see the you're picking the two teams, everyone's face had a Mets logo underneath them because no one gave the Padres a chance in hell to win that series. I really thought the Padres were going to win the series. Like you just said about the Mets going into the series, I didn't like the way they looked. I, you know, as much as you don't want to sit around and talk about culture, and as much as we like to pretend that there isn't, you know, we look at baseball as finite numbers. Yeah, this is the numbers. This is what should be taking place. But there are intangibles that you simply cannot quantify no matter how much you want to. And you just mentioned that losing that series to the Braves. That was just a death blow to this team.
Yeah, I feel like it was. I mean, again, they had to win one game, couldn't do it. And then, you know, they came up one game short there. They came up one game short against the Padres. They went out with a whimper, one hit. Musgrove was obviously fantastic. Give him credit. He did not cheat. He did not do anything wrong. You know, I understand the Mets. They saw the spin rate was much better. You know, I guess Buck Showalter's in a position where he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. He went out there, looked bad, no question about it. Musgrove was not cheating. He's a legitimately outstanding pitcher. He's one of the best breaking balls in the game, as Keith Hernandez told me from his hospital bed. No, they're good. He's good. They've got talent. And one more thing I'll say about the Padres versus the Mets. Padres went all in at the deadline. Now, Soto wasn't himself, still isn't. I don't think he's coming around. Bells did not do great with the Padres, did have the big home run there against Scherzer. You know, Hader struggled initially. But, I mean, these are really good players. They are a much improved team. The Mets, they kind of rested on their laurels. They'd already spent $290 million. They thought, you know, one pickup here and there, you know, we already got a huge lead. You know what? They needed one more win somehow, some way, and they did not get the bullpen fix they needed. They did not get the right-handed DH. I mean, is it that hard to get? That seems like the easiest thing to fill, right-handed DH. They never did it. And, you know, I know there weren't a lot of options, but, hey, the Padres got a great switch hitter. They got a great left-handed hitter. They got a great right-handed hitter at the deadline. They went all in. They traded five great prospects. The Mets weren't willing to give up any great prospect. They bragged that they kept their 19 top prospects at the deadline, and now look where they are. They have those prospects, but they're out.
Great. And here's the problem with that 19 prospects. You got 26 roster spots at the big league level. There is a solid shot you do not see all 19 of these prospects, and certainly not for long term.
Right. I mean, a prospect, you never know. I mean, the Mets have had many five-tool prospects who basically either got a cup of coffee in the major, really were did not turn out to be what they hoped to be. They had an outfielder named Escobar. They had an outfielder named Ochoa. There's probably five or six, I don't even remember half of them, outfielders who were five-tool outfielders. You don't know. You don't know which ones are going to turn out. And you got to take your chances. You know, I don't think I think they were too timid. You know, I mean, I understand Contreras wasn't moved, so nobody paid the price. But, you know, the Mets went in there with a catching tandem that was good defensively, really not great offensively, did not have the righty DH, did not bulk up the bullpen like they needed to do. I understand Scherzer's great. I understand DeGrom is great, but you need more than one great reliever. I mean, Ottavino and Lugo are pretty good, but you needed more than Ottavino and Lugo, and they just didn't do it.
That is true. They didn't do it. And, you know, there were other pitchers that were left off that roster. Taijuan Walker wasn't there. Taijuan Walker, who I've been very loudly trying to say to as many people who will listen, that he's been kind of an unsung hero of this Mets staff for not just this season, two seasons in a row, especially the debacle that was the 2021 season. So, you know, the Mets are in a very unique spot here because they're hitting to an offseason where, as of now, I should really say, they're losing DeGrom. They're losing Nimmo. They're losing Diaz. They're losing Bassett. Ottavino that you just mentioned. Lugo that you just mentioned. So the question is, I think Ottavino and Lugo are as good as gone, personally. But that's not because of any other reason. I just think they can upgrade those spots. there's no way DeGrom is going to be pitching for anyone but the Mets, right?
No, I wouldn't say that's the definite. You know, he's very upset about that contract. He is going to opt out, technically not a free agent yet. He will opt out, understandably. I mean, he's worth more than what's left on that contract. It's about $30 million guaranteed for 1 year left, plus a team option.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Plus, there are all these deferrals, so I get it. He's worth more. Even at 60 innings, he's worth more than a one-year deal, and he's going to get certainly at least a multi-year deal, at least a two-year deal. Some people think he'll get a three. I did a poll for the New York Post. Someone thought he'd get five. I don't know. I think that's a guy who probably has a DeGrom bobblehead in his bathroom or something. I don't know. But he's going to get a good contract, much better than he's got. I would let him go through 64 innings this year, 4.3% of the season, 4.3% of the innings that they needed. I mean, is it really worth spending $40 million plus on a maybe? I think Texas might do it. I'm not sure who else. To me, they got too many other issues. This idea that this 1-2 punch is so great. I mean, if the starting pitching was as valuable as they say, the Braves would have won more than one World Series. The Phillies, when they had Halliday and Lee and all those guys, they didn't win. They won when they had Hamels and Blanton were their starters. I think the idea that this 1-2 punch is gives you such an advantage, I think it's overrated. I think when you get to the postseason, to me, I'd rather go spend the money on the bullpen. They think the bullpen is unreliable. I don't know. They're going to have to bring Diaz back. I would try to bring Nimmo back. That's not going to be easy. They got a lot of work to do. They're going to have to spend a lot of money. They don't have the prospects that other teams may have. They do have Beatty potentially for third base and Alvarez for catcher. If not next year, then a year from now. But they're going to have to spend a lot of money. Fortunately for them, they do have Steve Cohen as their owner, so they do have a lot of money.
They do, and it's funny. Nimmo is Diaz, I completely agree. They got to bring him back. But Nimmo is such a unique one to me. I just feel like Nimmo's a good ball player. I played with Nimmo. He's a great guy. But I feel like someone in Major League Baseball is going to overpay for Nimmo, and Nimmo will never do what he just did this year, last 2 years ever again. And I know it's going to be the White Sox. Why? Because this just has White Sox written all over it.
It could be. I mean, they're a little short in the lefty hitting department. He would fit there. He'd fit a number of teams. He has been great at least the last couple years. We saw what Ellsbury, similar skill set, get. What did he get? Over $150 million like 9 years ago, right? It's going to be a large contract, probably a lot larger than any of us figured to start the year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he made quite as much money as Aaron Judge with the year that he had, but he made a lot of money. And, obviously the Mets could move Marte to center and live with that and maybe bring in a power hitter for right field. I don't know that it's going to be Aaron Judge. I think the Mets, like everybody else, thinks the likelihood is Judge goes back to the Yankees. But, Nimmo was wearing that uniform an hour later, taking pictures. I don't know. Am I reading too much into it, thinking, well, maybe he thinks this is his last day with the Mets, or maybe he just likes photography. I don't know. He's a free agent, so I think there's a decent chance that he goes. He's not Aaron Judge, who's got the Judge's chambers and all, and he's got so many reasons to stay with his team. Nimmo could easily leave, and there are a lot of teams that are going to like him.
Yeah. Well, let's touch on one team real briefly, because I know how you always feel about the Tampa Bay Rays, but this is a team that just constantly goes out and makes the playoffs, yeah, despite being nothing all that sexy. And they do have some names in there that are sexy, like the Wander Franco's of the world. Sure. But Kevin Kiermaier may not be a Ray going forward, and that's a big name to replace. And I know the Rays are a factory, but do the Rays have someone like a Kevin Kiermaier just ready to go?
Well, you know, they have always have pitchers ready to go, and they're a better team than I give them credit for every year, and they were this year. And frankly, even though I picked the Guardians to win that matchup, you know, both games were one-run games in Cleveland. Tampa outperforms every year, and they outperform by a lot, my predictions. They do have Wander Franco. You're right. They're better than I give them credit for. You know, a couple more hitters here and there. And they're willing to pull off a surprise here and there. Give it a shot. They tried for Freddie Freeman. Who knows? Maybe they'll do something big. Even though they don't draw many fans, I think their revenues are good enough that certainly that they can try to do something like that. Interesting. And, you know, they're going to be good every year. They know what they're doing. And I've got to reevaluate my evaluations of the Rays because it's me. It's me. It's not them. That's something I've heard. I heard a few times, it's me, it's not you.
But, yeah, well, we've all been there. We've all been there, John, to say the least. The Blue Jays are a team that really intrigued me because they were a team this season that, you know, everyone told me I was wrong about. And, you know, I do think I was at least a little wrong about because early in the season, I kept describing them as the shiny new toy that everybody just really desperately wants. And for whatever reason, this team just was never doing it for me, despite the young studs that they have, despite going to get Kevin Gausman, losing Robbie Ray hurt, but bringing in the Kevin Gausman and seeing what Alek Manoah had turned himself into. This team is young and exciting and will be around for the foreseeable future. The question is, what are they missing? Because I can't even put my complete finger on it. They're not good enough to compete in that division even still.
Yeah, they underachieved. I thought they would win that division. They did not. They changed managers. They continued to underachieve, I felt. You know, I think they should be better. They've done a nice job of adding pieces. Obviously, Manoah's an ace. Gausman's a very nice piece. They have a terrific infield, a lot of power there. They've got Bichette. They've got Vlad. I think there's something going on with the chemistry where they're underperforming. And if I'm them, I would kind of try to improve that bullpen. They've obviously got Romano on the back end, but you need bullpen pieces. Really, there's, you know, how many pitchers are eight-inning pitchers at this point? You got Alcantara, maybe Wheeler. There just aren't eight-inning pitchers anymore in baseball, and their bullpen is not great. I do think it's a chemistry issue with them, though, because those names, that team, they should be better.
Mm-hmm. And last team that got knocked out, and I don't know what to expect from them going forward, but then again, we didn't know what to expect from them this season, the St. Louis Cardinals, a team that second half just went off after the additions of Quintana and the addition of Jordan Montgomery. But now they're about to lose basically the stalwarts of this organization. You know, Pujols is going to be hanging them up as well as Molina. Mm-hmm. Is this a franchise? Now, I'm not suggesting because those two are retiring that now the Cardinals are screwed and have to start from the drawing board. It's not exactly like those two were the guys carrying the team. But what does this franchise look like going forward? It's no longer the same faces that we've seen for 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, they draft and develop really well. They have a lot of good young position players in their pipeline, and I think they're going to be really good every year. They do a very nice job. I don't think there's any two ways about it. I think they'll survive this. Obviously, those are two big losses, Hall of Famers. But, you know, I mean, Pujols was amazing this year. But, you know, I think they're still going to be good. You know, they tried at the deadline, unlike a lot of teams, and they improved. I'm surprised that they could not win at home when they had the chance. And Arenado and Goldschmidt, who had great years, did not come through. But, you know, I think potentially they could move Edmund to second and sign one of the big shortstops. Not sure that's them, though. I do think, you know, as we sit here today, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, I think they'll bring Wainwright back. I think he'll come back. Since, I mean, if he was retiring, wouldn't he have said, like, his two buddies, then I'm going out with them, right? He didn't say anything like that. So I assume he'll be back, and I assume that they will be good again. If I'm them, though, I would try to figure out a little bit in that bullpen. You know, I want to fix everybody's bullpen. I always think that's the issue, and I always think that's easier because a starting pitcher just costs so much money nowadays, and I don't know that that's always the answer. Look at all the stars, you know, that have already struggled in the postseason from the pitching standpoint. So, you know, I'm them. I go out and get some more sure things in that bullpen. I guess nobody's a sure thing, but that Helsley, who throws 103, that first game, that was really the deciding factor. Them losing that big lead in the ninth inning and giving up six runs to the Phillies. You know, I would look to bulk up the pen, but I wouldn't rule them out of the shortstop mix. That will be the interesting one in free agency this year. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it will be. Well, let's take a look at the DSs, both AL and NL side. Game ones in the books as we currently stand, and just looking at the series as a whole, each one of them, in fact. One of the teams, it seems like if you were to look at all these series, it would be, to borrow an old gambling phrase, very chalky. It seems as though it's each series seems kind of obvious who's going to move on. I look at the Dodger-Padres series, and as much as I love me some San Diego Padres, the Los Angeles Dodgers are just ungodly good. Like, I don't see a world where this Padre team gets by this Dodger team. I could be wrong, but I really don't think I am. And I feel the same way right now about the New York Yankees and, of course, about the Houston Astros. I don't feel that way about the Atlanta Braves, and it's just because the Philadelphia Phillies are so damn chaotic. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we don't know what they are. And when I say I don't know what they are, from inning to inning, they go from the worst team I've ever seen one inning to an offensive juggernaut that will never be stopped in the very following inning.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a great offense, and they got two great pitchers at the top of that rotation. They've done so well with Rob Thompson as the manager, who they've now extended. They are a different team than they were early. I know Keith Hernandez can't watch them. And, you know, maybe they're not the most beautiful team. Certainly defensively they're not. But, you know, game one, they pulled it off. And they clearly have a shot going in. Full honesty here. The one upset I picked was the Guardians. Now, Cole beat them. They have it lined up with two off days where Cortez and Cole and Severino are the only ones starting. If they get the rain out, they will go to Tyone, who's not bad also. And, you know, I felt that the Yankees are so hot and so cold. Maybe, you know, with the days off, maybe they'll be cold. And also that bullpen, five of their regular relievers are now injured. Plus you got Chapman, who went AWOL, and he's out. So to me, if they had a lot of games that are 2-2 in the eighth or whatever, and going to be decided by the pen, I go with the Guardians for that, but, you know, obviously the Yankees have overwhelming talent if they play their best. You know, when Judge was by himself and everybody was out, they were not very good, but now you've got Rizzo back, you've got Stanton back, you've got Carpenter at least on the bench and the potential there. And, you know, it's an interesting series, just contrasts money versus, I don't want to say poverty, but money versus less rich. You've got power versus base running and contact and all that. It's an interesting series. And obviously with the Yankees winning the first game and being the overwhelming favorite, does not look good for Cleveland at this point. That was my upset pick. I didn't see Philly doing it. Look, we all in New York, maybe we don't feel like Keith Hernandez quite, but we've seen the Phillies a lot this year, and they were not too good. A lot of times they look good now, though. And as you said, it's chaotic. Maybe they win. I mean, to me, the Astros and the Dodgers are the most obvious picks. They're the two best teams. They're the two favorites to get to the World Series, and they have been all along. I picked them at the beginning of the year. I had Dodgers over Astros. I think the Astros' road's a little bit easier. They did have that big win in game one. You know, Seattle had a shot there, and, you know, giving up that home run. And now it looks like, you know, I think the Astros have to feel – you can't feel too confident in a five-game series, but they got to feel pretty confident. That was a big win that the Mariners needed to to happen there.
They needed to win that ball game. And that, if they won that, I still probably wouldn't have picked the Mariners to go forward in this series and win.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
But if there was a game, ball game for them to win on the road, oh my goodness, how insurmountable that would have been for that ball club. I love the Mariners. I'm really excited for this team. But unfortunately, the buzzsaw that is the Houston Astros. I just can't imagine getting beat in the DS. And quite frankly, in the CS2, I am hoping that we get the rivalry game in the ALCS. I mean, anyone that doesn't want to watch Astros Yankees is either lying to themselves or they lost a bet. That's all I want to see. And quite frankly, give either of them to me to face the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series, and I'm a happy guy. But as somebody that is born in 1988 and has never seen a Yankee-Dodger World Series that my father told me all about, all of them growing up, I would give anything just one time in my lifetime to see a Dodger Yankees World Series.
Well, you are a child. Wow. I wasn't around for the 55 World Series or 56, but yeah, I've seen the Yankees and Dodgers play in the World Series a lot. Wow. You never even saw Steve Garvey and Ron Say and all those guys?
No,
play,
I did not. I was at the tail end. However, one of my mentors as a child was Steve Garvey. And through Steve Garvey, I met Reggie Smith, who really was my mentor for about 15 years before I got eventually went to UCLA and got drafted.
Yeah, Reggie Smith seems like a terrific guy. I don't know him, but Steve Garvey, if you're in contact with him, ask him why he has blocked me on Twitter. You said everybody should follow me. I actually voted for him 15 times for the Hall of Fame. So he must have not liked that I didn't vote for Say or somebody. I don't know what it was, but anyway.
We got to fix that problem.
Fix that. Well, you know what? Moving on from that, I'll live with that. It's going to be so interesting. You're right. Astros, Yankees. I mean, nobody hates the Astros more than the Yankees and the Dodgers. And one or two of them may have a shot at the Astros here. And so that's going to add some intrigue. As much as, everybody hates the Astros, I think Yankees are probably number one on that list, and Dodgers are probably number two. Although I will say this about the Astros. They're proving I'm assuming everything's on the up and up at this point. I'm sure they're looking pretty carefully. They've proven they don't need much help. They're a pretty darn good team.
Yeah, they are. And you know what I keep thinking, especially after game one, when I watch that at bat? By the way, those out there that are kind of throwing a lot of shade at Service and the Mariners for bringing in Robbie Ray because, look at his numbers. Robbie Ray's numbers against Yordan Alvarez. Look at Yordan Alvarez's numbers against everybody. That doesn't mean anything. At the end of the day, the Mariners threw everything they could at the wall at the Astros, and they had a Cy Young Award winner that was available left-on-left matchup to go and face him. I loved it. I loved the move. I'm sorry it didn't work out, but every time I see Yordan Alvarez hit a home run, I just keep thinking, what if the Dodgers didn't trade him to the Houston Astros?
They're good enough. They're good enough. They don't need Yordan Alvarez, too. My God. Especially now that we have the DH. Well, they're just an amazing team. And, they're the best team. But like I've said it, I think that National League is a gauntlet. I think the Padres are very talented. I thought it'd be the Mets, but the Padres are talented. And if it's the Braves, they're the defending champ. They beat them before. It's not going to be a cakewalk for the Dodgers, even with 111 wins. We know in the past, we saw the Mariners with 116 get eliminated by the Yankees, so you never know. But Dodgers-Astros rematch of 17, that would be pretty good. But we got a long way to go before we get there.
Yes, we do, and we're going to be with you a long way right here on Odyssey Sports for Big Time Baseball. John, is there anything else that you're really excited for with the rest of these divisional series?
I'm still excited about my Guardians pick. I'm not giving up yet. We'll see how it goes. I'm sitting here in New York. I was the one guy who picked the Guardians. I guess we're pretty provincial at the post. We had one guy pick the Padres, Mark W. Sanchez. I give him credit. AJ Preller came over to me. You did. But you're not at the New York Post.
I am not.
It takes a little more guts to pick against the Mets. I did not, but Mark W. Sanchez and AJ Preller came over to me and he wanted to shake Mark Sanchez's hand. I don't think he got to do it yet, but if they stay alive, maybe he will. You know, I like to see upsets. I do think it's pretty chalky, though. And, you know, it's tough to pick against the Dodgers, the Astros, probably even the Yankees, though I tried it. At this point, we've got some super teams. I think going in, we felt there were at least two super teams, probably three or four, and all but the Mets are left. And it'll be interesting to see if we get something other than Dodgers. Astros, always possible. And it looks like we're seeing the good Yankees team right now, too. So maybe, you never know. If we get great Yankees, I mean, the first half of the season, they were world beaters. Maybe they'll be that team again.
All I can say is, so far, Major League Baseball off to an incredibly cracking start when it comes to Major League Baseball's playoff season. I mean, that wild card series were just, every single one of them were great. And day one of DS is just through the roof. And I cannot wait to see where the rest of October is going. And John, I can't wait to talk to you all about it as the month goes forward. Guys, make sure you follow John Heyman on Twitter at John Heyman. It's literally the most important baseball follow on Twitter. Check out everything he's doing at MLB Network. And of course, the New York Post. Absolutely killing it, John. Follow me at Decker6 on Twitter and Anti-Hero Baseball on Instagram. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe to Big Time Baseball on the Odyssey app. And of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast. And check me out on The Carton Show, FS1, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9:30. I'm the one that's looking handsome and cracking jokes. All right, that's it for us, guys. Beat it.